Yeah, you know, I am a parent. That is true. And but the one thing that I never, ever, ever, ever was is I never, ever, ever was a babysitter. I had never changed a diaper. I never filled a bottle. I never negotiated bedtime. I never debated broccoli against ice cream. I never faced a child's wrath, you know, when turning up the TV. And I never snuck a boyfriend or a girlfriend or cigarettes or vodka into somebody else's house while taking care of a child. I never did any of those sorts of things. I never, never sat with a child significantly younger than myself. I had an older brother. Never did any of that. I seem to miss it entirely until I gave birth. It was a pretty big surprise for me. I mean, you know, here's the thing. Child bursts out of my loins. It's approximately 6.9 years ago. And I think I was in really... No, I was perhaps in a peculiarly strange state of denial upon having a child. Because there I am. I'm in Cedars-Sinai Hospital. And a really good-looking doctor, too, which is a really strange thing. Don't ever do that if you're going to have a child. Just a little... Too weird. Okay. Your legs are spread wide, and there's all semblance of modesty. It's totally denied. I'm sweating and grunting, and that last forceful push, and the doctor's got the hands out, and he catches this thing, and I'm looking down, and I scream, "It's a baby! It's a baby!" That's how far it was from me. I mean, I don't know what I was expecting. It's a monkey, a fish, Henry Kissinger, you know? New type of TV dinner, but no, it's a baby. And it's, you know, perfectly formed and wide-eyed, and my son's name is Max. He was really kind of like this, you know, he was kind of a Buddha baby. He wasn't one of those shriveled things, you know, because he was late, which comes into play later, but remember, he was late. And, you know, and he was just... And his eyes were open. It wasn't like that, you know, like baby not looking around, kind of, he's just like really calm, zen baby. They put him on my chest. He's looking around at his first view of Beverly Hills out the window. It's very, very, all kinds of nice. He's adorable, drooling, inquisitive. Just, you know, and he's helpless. Children are helpless for many, many years. Did you know that? When they come out, I mean, there's several months, they cannot get their own food and water. And they do not know how to wipe themselves.
No, they don't.
They do not know how to do that. And, I mean, they can't even protect themselves from their own poop. I mean, you know. The whole point being here that they cannot be out of an adult's sight. Yes, most of that time is in the parent's sight. And, you know, and a lot of the time, especially in the initial phases, a lot of time it is a lot about sitting with baby. Baby, sit. You are sitting with the baby. You are balancing and sitting with the baby. You are driving in a car trying to get the child to go to sleep sitting in the car. You are sitting and feeding and sitting while the baby's sucking and sitting and rocking and sitting and cooing and sitting and laughing and sleeping and trying to think while you're sitting. And so you're a lot of sitting. I'm very qualified now as a sitter with children. I am the mommy sitter. But, of course, tonight is really not about mommy sitting. That was about Mother's Day. I think you did the show, right? Like a couple of months. That was about mommying. So this is not a... This is about babysitting. I have employed sitters, yes, through sitting services and through friends and through neighbors, etc. And the kind of thing is that I have no really charming stories about sitting, like, oh, Miss, I love you. You know. No. Oh, wait, there's one little charming story. My friend Tracy. One of the few friends that has ever sat with my child, because you find that friends kind of... Anybody here plan on having a child someday?
Sure.
Yeah, maybe, perhaps. Maybe too young. You can't even think about it. Yeah, it's like, God, no! I'm way too young! And no, but your friends kind of somehow disappear conveniently when you have a child, no matter how good friends they are. Anyway, but my friend Tracy did sit with Max, and He has this sort of thing about silk. For the first, probably not the first year of his life, but his second and third year of his life, his favorite object to wear was his white dress, which happened to be a silk pajama top that belonged to me, that had patterns of white, women's stiletto heels on it. He had found it one day, and he's like, what's this? This feels good. And then he's like Marlon Brando, wearing this thing. And of course, his hand inevitably ends up on what? His chin-chin, yes. His chin-chin. I like this. You know, I'm much too PC of a parent to stop this. Okay. So, you know, friends come over, Max is going, Mom, where's my white dress? And that's funny. Mommy's drawer. Anyway, he had this thing for silk. And then my friend Tracy comes over, and he doesn't get the white dress on that night, but he's sitting with her, and she has on silk pants. So I don't think my son's even 3 yet, and he's sitting next to her on the couch, and he puts his hand up. Those are nice pants. I'm going to tell my mom, because maybe she can get some. So I don't know, later on, I don't know what his life is going to be like around 16, but I think it's going to involve fetishes for soap. Babysitter, older, whoa. No more thing about it! Okay. So that's a charming babysitter story. So I guess that falls into the charming babysitting story. I don't know if I have any horror stories about babysitting, except that, and this is for another night, Tom, you got another night, except about my ex-husband's childless ex-girlfriend and her attempts to, when she stayed at our house, her attempts to co-opt the family and my child, not literally, but spiritually, figuratively, and mentally. But that was my ex-husband, so I guess we can put that in quotation marks. That would be for the infidelity evening. But this is about babysitting, okay. I thought what I would tell you about, since, you know, this is kind of my kind of free form here, but is about the first time I had a babysitter, and this pertains particularly to me being here tonight, because I am here. What does that mean?
Max has a babysitter.
Ding, 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 man over here wins. Art is acquainted with babysitting in my life. That's the fact. That's the reality. I mean, all poetry, spoken word, music, theater, dance, whatever you can think of, as soon as something goes boop, it's a baby, is acquainted with a babysitter. And you know what? It doesn't make a difference if your husband is with, or significant other, partner, whatever it is with, because most of the time, if you are the primary designated mother, the other person can claim babysitting. You can't. Okay, how does it go? I think I wrote this out. Okay. Okay, my son's with his dad tonight, so he has a sitter. See? Because actually, dads get PC points for sitting with their own children. You know, because the conversation, can you imagine this conversation? Okay, you know, it's another mom calling another mom. Hey, Betsy, why aren't you going to play tonight? Oh, yeah, Joan, I'm sorry I can't play basketball. I've got to babysit the kids while George is out. Oh, Betsy, you're the greatest. I hope your husband appreciates you. No! That doesn't happen! So whenever I am out, there is a sitter. So the first time I had a sitter, back to the story, was 2 weeks after Max was born. Now, I mean, that sounds horrific to some mothers. Like, what? isn't there some countries where you can't even have a sitter? In Japan, isn't there something like that? You're supposed to stay home with the child for the first month and never leave the house. No, China. Because a friend, one of Max's friends now, she said she couldn't leave the house for a month. She followed this dictate that in China you're not supposed to leave the house, you're not supposed to wear shoes, you're not supposed to brush your teeth or wash your hair. I mean, the washing your hair is really true. Anyway, but I went out 2 weeks after. I committed to do this shoe case, an acting thing, right? And it was some original work, blah, 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 blah. And it was supposed to be a month after Max was born, but Max was taking his time, so he was 2 weeks late. So I go to do this thing. I'm held together with nursing bras, you know, and support panties, you know, because the show must go on. And Max came to the rehearsals, you know, that's okay. But, you know, the little sleeping, shitting, eating, crying thing could not be there actually during the performances. So I arranged for Joanne, my friend who watches every move, for an hour and 45 minutes, because I was just going to go in and do my bit and leave and speed back. And I'd hook myself up to the lactation station. Fill up the bottle, and the child, you drop a child someplace, you have to drop everything. You know, it's like packing for a 2 week vacation to Mexico. You know, there's books, or, I mean, even when they're little, you know, the clothes, diapers, clothes, blah, 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 everything. So take him over there with this blankie and drop him off at Joanne's house. And he's like, wondering, why didn't Joanne come over to your house? Because, you know, that would have been a lot easier. That's right. Again, there's about that friend thing. It becomes a lot less convenient later on. Anyway, so I drop my child in Joanne's house. And I'm with, I must say, much guilt. I'm going, 2 weeks into this, I'm a bad mother. I'm a bad mother. I'm leaving with a babysitter. And, you know, because I'm going off to commit acts. Wait. I'm going off to commit high acts of low art. Low acts of high art? I don't think it really makes any difference. One of the two. And I'm breast my leaking, I'm anxious, I'm under-rehearsed, and I'm somewhat relieved for the first time in several months to be out of the house, not being pregnant or nursing. My mother, and feeling just a bit free, you know, I remember they had food there. And it was like this weird, and wine, and I couldn't drink wine, but the food looked really good, but I didn't have time to eat it because I really wasn't going to stay. And you know, but I had gone out to do my art! And you know what? It's an amazing thing. You know what came of that showcase?
What?
Absolutely nothing. Thank you, Miguel. Absolutely fucking nothing. So, you know, and most of the time, I mean, and that's kind of the weird thing, is that, you know, we keep doing this stuff, and I keep having sitters, and it's this sort of creation, this attempt at woo-la, flowering something. And most of the time, you're never quite sure what comes of it. And I had something else to, but I'm going to skip my top 10 list of babysitting considerations from the parental perspective. wait, I'll touch on a couple of these, just so you're prepared for if you ever get on this. Make sure that one of your friends owes you big time before having a child. But then again, the type of friend that owes you big time may not be the kind that you want sitting with your child. Because, you know the one that you got out of jail or rescued from a stupor, you know, helped out in a fight, talked out of suicide? No, that's not the people they probably want sitting with your child. True friends will regularly sit with your child, especially if you pay them. And some of the things that Donatina said, you know, about all my fears are alive in hearing other people's stories, especially Aldridge's. I'm going to think about that for years, thank you. I did think that a dog is a good thing to have. Because I think dogs are better at sniffing out unreliable people coming to your house. Because sometimes in desperation, you do have to hire somebody from something called the Babysitting Guild. And this guy, Mark, I've never seen him. He is in the building somewhere down in Wiltshire, will answer the phone and go, "Hey!" And then you go, "Mark, I need a babysitter." It's kind of like this clandestine thing, you know. For Saturday, sure, I'll try to get you one. What do you think you need? And then you kind of do this whole bargaining situation. You get a babysitter. You try to get your friends. You know, if you have parents, it's a wonderful thing, but I don't have any relatives here, like a lot of us don't. Let's see, there's anything. All babysitters lie. Just remember that. Because they will say, you come home and you go, "How'd it go?" And they go, "It was perfect. Nothing went wrong. He's such a good boy." And then, you know, something had to go wrong. But, you know, but you kind of accept it. And then you, and also in the acceptance of the lie, then you also have all this guilt because why didn't he cry when going to bed when you weren't there, when he always does when you were. Also, you will lie. This is the other part of it. Babysitters lie. You will lie because you will say, if they do report something that's off, you know, you will utter the words. This is, how many times have you heard it? I'm so surprised he never does that with me. You heard that? Just a few times. I mean, I think everybody has said it. And the babysitters will know everything about you, but you've already learned that this evening. Because, you know, you're just leaving somebody in your house unfettered while children are asleep for several hours, you know, for half a day. You don't think, what? How many of you are noble enough not to kind of... So I've accepted that. You kind of accept it. And then the babysitter will probably, some babysitter at some point will see you naked by mistake. You know, open the door. Ah! Or, yeah. Or you will see the babysitter. Oh! I did have to have a babysitter for art this week on Thursday night. I had a babysitter for art. Because I had to go to the Lehman Engel Musical Theater Workshop, which I'm currently trying to do in the music end of things. And so I had to get a babysitter for 2 hours, 2.5 hours for Max. And it's Megan. Megan is my current babysitter. She's 13, and she's actually the girl right behind next door. And she is somebody who says whatever with no irony. Whatever. That's Megan. So Megan comes over, and you know, I can feel I can trust her for there for 2 hours in my house. And it was for art again, that dubious thing. But I mean, it was like that weird thing. It's like all the stuff that we have now about babysitters and nannies, and we go places, and we're off for a week, and we leave our child with the nanny or the sitter or whatever it is. And this week, I've just had those thoughts like we go too much. We have sitters too much. All I could think of this week is that I didn't want to not spend time away because of that horrific moment that I kept seeing repeated over and over again for now, you know, before we're going into the house, contained in a car. Because I had this dream, it was really weird. I was in this restaurant, a really fancy restaurant, and I was eating rich food. You know what I mean? And it's like just like, you know, weird. I don't think I've ever used the phrase rich food. And I was in this place that had a really high ceiling. And then there was this noise, and then I was swimming through air like this. And he said, and it happened 3 times, and I kept going down like this, swimming through air. And then I landed, and I was in a really dark place. Well, it wasn't too dark. There was a little bit of light, but there was this really dark place, and there were other people there. And that was his dream. Doesn't say anything, doesn't mean anything, I guess, but he doesn't want to be away. He doesn't want to have a sitter. He wants me to be home. So, art or home? I don't know. It's a big choice.